Leading Edge Medicine provides only general medical information. Since everyone's individual situation is unique, you should consult your own physician before taking any action related to your personal health. All content of this program is intended for general informational purposes only. Good morning and welcome to Leading Edge Medicine with Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat. Leading Edge Medicine is sponsored by Longevity Medical Clinics and is devoted to helping you feel and function better tomorrow than you do today by providing the newest and most advanced medical care designed to improve both your body and your brain. Leading Edge Medicine will keep you informed regarding the very latest developments in science and medicine while highlighting some of the Northwest's most prominent physicians. All while helping you separate the science from the silly and the facts from the fiction. This is live call-in radio at its very best, giving you the opportunity to participate in the show. Now, here are your hosts for Leading Edge Medicine, Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat, along with their co-host, Lynette Morgan.
Hi there and welcome. Good morning. This is Leading Edge Medicine. I'm Lynette, along with Dr. Jerry Mixon. And Dr. Samira Umat has the weekend off. We're going to give her the weekend off. Yes. And she has sent to us Dr. Michael Gilbert of Northwest Vision Institute.
It was nice
to fill her chair.
That's yes, right. That
but
is her chair.
Don't sound much like her.
No.
I could try.
Yeah, no.
No, I don't think it would do much.
I think it's going to work.
But keep talking. Yeah. Dr. Michael Gilbert here. If you have eye questions, concerns, maybe you've heard about that new RLE everyone's talking about.
Oh, yes.
He's got the answers for you. Glaucoma, information about cataracts. As we age, lots of these things, we start seeing our eye doctor a lot more than we did than just every other year. So eyes have it today. So Dr. Michael Gilbert here in the studio. I'll give you that number right now. No one on the phone lines. You could be one of the first ones to call in and get your questions answered. Here is that number, 206-421-5757. Yeah, it's a little different, but there you go. Jot it down, 206-421-5757. All right, so Dr. Mixon, COVID seems to kind of be trying to come back, maybe, or at least the mask mandates. What's happening in the medical?
Well, I mean, COVID hospitalizations are up by 16%. But that's from a almost zip level. So a 16% rise from a very, very low level is still a very low level. And the vast majority of the hospitalizations are people over 85 years of age or suffering from cancer chemotherapies or radiation or some other serious immune response blocker. For healthy people, you're looking at basically a cold. And so the result is most people don't get a COVID test for a cold. And so we don't see a lot of it. And I'm not worried about it. I am more worried about the mask mandate. In my personal life, I will be a non-complier. I will not comply. I will not let them push me around. As a medical professional, I have no choice. My clinics have to do what the governor mandates, or he can close the clinics down. You know, during the last mandates, we had some irate patients because the patients had read the literature and they knew that this was stupid and that they were at no significant risk and they were not going to spread it because they were healthy. And they got mad at us because we required them to put on a mask to come in the clinic. And the reason we required it was because the governor would shut the clinic if we didn't. So, yes, we agree with you. Wearing your mask is stupid unless you are immunocompromised. If you are a current cancer patient, you're on chemotherapy, you have problems, by all means, wear your mask. You need to protect yourself. Interestingly, the Center for Disease Control finally, as a result of a lawsuit, released the data on asymptomatic spread within the last week. You know, the story we were being given was, well, you know, you have to wear your mask even if you think you're healthy because you could be spreading it even if you have no symptoms. And it turns out that was a lie. And they knew it was a lie because the data showed that asymptomatic spread is almost non-existent. There is that very rare person who sheds enough virus to infect someone around them in the day or two before their symptoms show up. In other words, they've been infected, they're getting sick, they will not get their symptoms until tonight, but this morning they might shed enough virus to infect someone. But even that is rare. And so the Center for Disease Control, because they got sued for hiding the data, finally released the data this week. And indeed, it shows that asymptomatic spread was just an excuse to make people wear masks when they didn't need to wear masks. They just wanted everybody wearing masks all the time as part of the, quote, emergency.
The CDC has lost so much prestige in the last few years.
Yes.
I used to consider them as a rock-solid source of
when I was a young doctor. Yeah.
And now, I just shake my head. Yeah. I do not understand.
When I was a young doctor, if the CDC said it, it was gospel. We believed it because they were scientists.
Yeah.
They're now
scientists first.
Yes.
And now it's politics.
And now they're politicians.
It appears.
Yeah, they're politicians who dabble in science. And it's sad when the premier infectious disease, you know, mechanism for the United States is primarily a political organization that uses science to further its political ends.
Selectively uses science. Uh-huh.
And hides the science that doesn't support their politics. That just appalls me. And I saw an article this morning by a doctor who he is indeed a climate scientist. And he just had a paper published in Nature. But he admitted after the paper was published.
Read this yesterday.
That he fudged his data and left out important points because otherwise he couldn't get it published. So he gave a wrong cast to his study in order to get it published, because publication is important if you're a university professor.
He selectively reported his data.
Yes. And he left out the stuff that disagreed.
Wow. Facts used to be the number one. Remember that?
That's what real science is about. You know, there is
challenging the orthodoxy.
Yes.
Is the whole point of science.
There is no such thing as established science. Everything in real science.
And it's all to be challenged.
You ask questions. And the most important questions are the ones that challenge the established orthodoxy.
Isn't it? Are the things that turn our thinking upside down.
Yes.
That we need.
And yet, for some reason, even the medical journals and the medical societies have given up on science and now are using the cloak of science to further political ends rather than just letting the data show what the data shows. I am appalled when the American Academy of Pediatrics, you know, starts accepting that five-year-olds can have transgender surgery. I mean, it's mind-boggling because there is no data to support it. It's a purely political decision in which biology has been thrown to the winds and political expediency has replaced our medical society thinking.
Yeah.
You know, I just...
But you can't drink till 21 and you can't vote till, you know.
Yes,
but
right.
You can have a trans...
You can, well, you can be five. First medically and then surgically castrated before puberty, for God's
yes.
sake. You know, as though a 5 or a 6 or an 8 or a 10 or even a 14-year-old really understands their sexuality. You know,
it is bewildering.
It's very scary. I wanted to be a dinosaur. I don't even want to know what that would mean in today's day. What would they do with that?
I don't know. I mean, Yeah, sorry. You have to see her now.
Because they didn't like the short T-Rex hands, the short arms.
The little tight T-Rex hands with the short arms. She's now flailing around in the studio.
Won't do.
Oh, boy.
And not very feminine or attractive.
No, either. And I'm so glad I didn't do that, or my parents didn't have me do that.
Yeah. Well, and now the really terrifying thing is, if your five-year-old thinks that they're something they're not, and you don't agree to have them castrated, you can go to jail in some cities and states. This is crazy. They can actually take your kid away because you don't support the fantasies of an adolescent child. This is absolutely insane. We have got to replace every politician in the country. Just wholesale fire every scoundrel out there and start fresh. Because I think...
And limits would be good.
Yes, they would be. You certainly would be. Get a real job, go serve one term in office, and then go back and get a real job again and let someone else have a turn. You know?
That was the classic way that that the politics in the United States worked. You were a farmer, and then you would go do a stint
and then you'd
the
go
federal
back and
government,
farm.
Then you'd go back to your business.
Yes.
Yeah.
Public service is the antithesis. There is nothing less servile than a public servant.
Mm-hmm. So, okay. Wow.
You know who they're serving.
Yes.
Themselves. Yes, their bank account. Anyway.
Okay. Well,
How about we've drifted?
I think we have fired up the doctors this morning. We are ready for your calls.
That's right. So call us about something in medicine, would you please?
206.
Save us, please.
Real medicine.
421-5757. Judy from Puyallup would like to talk about flu shots.
Judy, oh, good. Hello, Judy.
You are welcome to the show this morning.
Hi there. Fun listening to you guys. I'm destined to get a flu shot and pneumococcal pneumonia. How much time should I take between those two?
30 seconds to a minute.
Oh, okay. You can get them at the same time then?
I can get them the same day.
In separate arms. Yeah.
Just because
you don't want to make one arm too sore. Yeah.
Sure. Okay. Super.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Last week, I had to admit that I had fallen way behind on my immunizations. You know, back when I was a country doctor and I saw 40 people a day coughing, wheezing, sneezing into my face, I kept my immunizations right up to par.
I bet you did.
Sure.
Nowadays, that I spend most of my day peering into a computer screen and I hire other doctors to see the patients, I have lapsed so far behind on my immunizations. I just went over it last week and found that my Tdap, you know, my tetanus, diphtheria, pertussis, is 20 years out of date.
Oh, yeah. Oopsie.
Yeah. Time flies, doesn't it?
Time flies, yes, it does. You know, so I need to get my Tdap. I need to get my flu vaccine, you know. I'm not going to get a COVID booster.
Yeah, I think the bigger question today is, who would you recommend seek the COVID booster at this point?
And
the vast majority, I think we would not.
The vast majority, I would not. I would certainly never recommend any child get it. Children were never at risk to start with. I would not recommend anybody under 45 to 50, because that's when the curve starts to bend upwards, where immune response is starting to drop to a significant degree. So, you know, 45 to 50, if you have risk factors, if you're 45 years old and you got a BMI of 35, yes, you're morbidly obese, you're high risk, because this is a virus that grows in fat. That's what people don't realize. This virus preferentially reproduces in fat cells. So if you are overweight to obese, you have a 650% increased risk of serious illness or death. So, number one, your weight.
Yeah.
Hang on, ma'am.
Yes.
We, We got the music. We got to come right back.
But yeah, Judy,
give
stay
us two
right
minutes.
There.
We'll be right there.
Yeah, Judy, we'll take a break, and we will be back with more talking about that COVID vaccine. Do you need it or not? We'll be back. Stay right there. This is...
If the devil danced in empty pockets, he'd have a ball in line. With a 9-foot grin, a 10-piece band, and a 12-through-4 slide. I'd raise a flute in a 3-piece suit, give one dance for a dime.
If the devil danced... We're back. Leading Edge Medicine. Dr. Jerry Mixon here live in the studio. Dr. Michael Gilbert from Northwest Vision Institute. If you have an eye question, he's your guy. He's your eye guy today. Oh, boy. All right. So Judy from Puyallup was on the line. We're just talking about all the shots and do we need the COVID.
Mm-hmm. And Judy, let me give you a list of who I think should get a COVID shot this year. Okay. If you are morbidly obese, you should get a COVID shot because a morbidly obese person that is a BMI more than 35 has a 650% increased risk of having serious complications or injuries from COVID. So, you know, if that makes you high risk. If you are a cancer patient who is getting immunosuppressant medications or radiation, you should probably get your COVID shot. If you're an old smoker with COPD and you're, you know, oxygen dependent, you should probably have your COVID shot. If you're a congestive heart failure, you should probably get your COVID shot. You know, the vast majority of the human population does not fit into those categories and so probably shouldn't get their COVID shot. That's my personal feeling.
Okay, you still there, Judy?
I am. Yes, yeah, see, I was once told that a pneumonia shot is a once in a lifetime. How frequently should you get it, Dr. Mixon?
Well, I got my last one 20 some years ago. So.
Oh.
But I'm going to get one this year just because I'm 76 years old. You know, and my
Are there different types of pneumonia to be immunized against?
Yes, yes. And this particular one, there's a newer version out, which is what kind of tilted me in favor. Pneumococcus is a particular bacterial pneumonia that tends to kill old folk. And it is endemic in nursing homes. So anybody in a nursing home should have their pneumococcus shot. The rest of us, it's kind of optional, okay? But it's just one of those, it's a low-risk thing for most of us, but it's a piddly shot. Other than a few hours of soreness on my muscle, I don't expect any side effects. And the damn thing is free with my insurance, so why not?
Sure. No. Yeah. And how about the DPT? Is that something, you know, I had it when I was a teenager. Should I have it again?
That is something that statistically gives you about 10 years of really good protection, and then it starts to wane.
Okay.
And so, again, since I'm 20-some years since my last one, I'm going to go ahead and get it, just in part because I'm going to go out and do something adventurous in December, and I haven't decided exactly what yet. But, you know, I mentioned it in the first show, my wife and daughter are going to China for 18 days, and they're leaving me behind.
They may rethink this, Jerry.
Yes.
They may decide they need you along.
You might be jogging.
They hear about your alternatives.
On the Great Wall,
Well, I know how this works. Unless Bandine is a lot more free-thinking than my wife.
Well, you know, she strongly suggested I stay home because my Mandarin sucks. I know enough Mandarin to tell her how beautiful she is and how much I love her and, you know, to ask appropriate questions. But generally, conversational Mandarin stinks, and she doesn't like to have to interpret for me every day, all day, in everything we're doing. And her parents have not seen our daughter for 3 years, and so this ship is mostly let grandparents visit with Ivory. So she said, you know, why don't you stay home and go do something fun? And I said, fine. But so far, everything I have mentioned, she said, please don't.
Righto. She didn't really mean fun.
Yeah.
I'm not sure she said the word fun to you.
Because she knows that
I think you're not telling us the truth.
I am a bit of an adrenaline junkie. And so,
she knows better than fun.
Yes.
So all the things that I'm looking at, you know, of going back, and I have not jumped out of an airplane at 13,000 feet for many years, and I'd kind of like to go and jump again. I'd kind of like to get on a motorcycle. I'd kind of like to go down and do some aerobatics in a specially rated airplane, or even in a jet, which is a little more expensive, but could be a lot of fun.
Wow.
Or I'm thinking about going down to the Caribbean and taking kite surfing for about 2 weeks off the Virgin Islands or someplace.
Or parasailing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, there are, my version of fun is different from her version of fun. She was thinking, take a cruise.
Right. That's why I know she didn't use the word, go have fun, Jerry. No.
So
be safe and have fun.
Yeah. Hmm. So, but I have not yet decided. Now, there are a couple of sedentary things that I are on my list. I could go up to Nome just to see the Northern Lights and take part in Iditarod. Or I have never been to the South Pole. And December is summer down there. And I could get on an icebreaker and go down to the Ross Ice Shelf and feed the penguins on the South Pole. So, you know, I mean, there are some things I might do that would fit her version of fun.
And still keep you, you know, not doing band activities. We do need you here at Longevity and so, Leading Edge, you know.
Yeah. So I have to do something in December, and I need to rein in my adrenaline junkie impulses to some modest extent, just so my wife doesn't throw a tizzy.
Okay. Okay. Well, we're going to be excited to hear what he decides to do. Yeah. And we'll see if he'll take a microphone with him and do the show from afar. All right. You ready for another phone call?
Call in from the South Pole.
A phone call.
Yes. He's calling from the South Pole. All right. We're going to head to Graham. Kay is on the line. Hi, Kay.
Hey, Kay.
Good morning,
Good
Kay.
Good morning. I have a question for Dr. Gilbert. Couple months ago, when I saw my ophthalmologist, he said I might be borderline for glaucoma, but he wanted to watch me for 6 months. So okay. I basically want to know what the treatment options are, what you think the best thing is, and do you think it's not wise to wait for 6 months?
Well, first diagnosis and then treatment. So the diagnosis of glaucoma is in part we measure pressure. In fact, the lay understanding is it's just high pressure in the eye.
Oh, that's the truth, poof test.
The truth is that's a terrible way to measure pressure. It's not the most accurate way, but that's right. Some people get their pressure measured by the puff test. So there are several ways to measure pressure. Normal pressure in the eye does not, just because your pressure is within that statistical normal, we were talking just a little bit ago about what statistical normal is. Just because your pressure is statistical normal doesn't mean that you can't have glaucoma damage. Some people have highly sensitive nerves, so a pressure that is within statistical normal can still be associated with glaucoma. Pressures above statistical normal do not necessarily mean you have glaucoma. So the diagnosis is really based on damage to the nerve fibers that are responsible for vision. So how is that diagnosed? Well, yes, we follow pressure, but it's diagnosed by how well you see in a visual field test that checks the peripheral vision, and it checks the threshold of vision. So it's checking how little a stimulus can your brain detect. And that tells us if that's stable or if it's changing or if it's in normal limits. And there are some objective ways that we can measure the health of those nerves. So there's some testing that can be done in the office. I'm going to guess that they've done that as part of your baseline. If they haven't, then that's really something that has to be done before we entertain the diagnosis of glaucoma. That really defines that diagnosis is there any evidence of nerve damage either visually or objectively in some of the testing that can be done to detect the health or absence of health of those nerve fibers. The pressure itself is the only dial we really know how to turn. so that if we find that there's any evidence of damage, subtle though it may be, then the one thing we can do is control pressure. And so we want to bring that pressure down. And how can that be done? Historically, there the first line treatments would either be using a drop. Now, you know, 20, 30 years ago, the mainline drops were numerous and had a lot of side effects. Today, a single drop oftentimes will bring the pressure in control. And that single drop now, the most common side effect is a little redness and longer eyelashes.
Oh.
That's the drug of choice, first line treatment. So that's not without some fans who like longer lashes, and it helps to control the pressure.
But they just put it on the eyelashes and not in the eye.
Interesting story, just a quick sidelight. This drug was used for a couple of years before a Seattle ophthalmologist, good friend of mine, discovered the lash growth. Now, I know I had seen it, but I didn't really think much of it.
Mm-hmm. You're a guy. You really don't care.
He was smart enough to patent it. Then he published it. You patent, then publish. Pillage, then burn. You know, patent, then publish. And so now he's doing very well and funding his own research at the University of Washington and in a different place, because that same molecule is used, painted just above the eyelashes for eyelash growth alone.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But you put it in your eye and you get the eyelash growth and the lower pressure. Yeah.
And my wife puts it above her eyelashes, right. Yes. And
it grows the eyelashes.
She's got beautiful long eyelashes.
That's right.
Yes, she does.
But I wanted to make one more point. Going now, reeling on back from my little diversion, the alternative treatment to that is a simple laser. And for the longest time in the United States, we said they're about equal. Europe would treat with laser first. U.S. we'd treat with drops first. And the latest data makes absolutely clear that there are major advantages to treating laser first, then drops. So we've shifted that. That's been a shift over the last few years, is while many people want to do drops first, the laser is superior in terms of side effects, long-term control, and better treatment of glaucoma.
There you go. Is that helpful for you, Kay? All right. You know what? I think it is. We'll take a quick break.
She's not rejecting.
That's right. And Kay, if you are still with us, we'll be back in just a moment. We're going to talk about arthritis next, and somebody has an idea for your next adventure trip, Dr. Mixon.
Oh, wow.
We'll be back with more Leading Edge Medicine in just a moment.
Don't it?
Live in the studio, we have Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Michael Gilbert from Northwest Vision Institute talking about the eyes. Just got some information about glaucoma. If you are dealing with some eye issues, this is the day to call in and actually get to talk to Dr. Michael Gilbert. So here is the number we're using today in the studio. Jot it down, 206-421-5757. That number again is 206-421-5757. And we'll get you right on. Phone lines are available and open for you. We're headed to Kenmore right now. Mel is on the line. Hi, Mel.
Hello, Mel.
Good morning.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I've been a patient with Longevity Medical Clinic for 3 years now. Uh-huh. And what prompted me to do so is I have lived with rheumatoid arthritis for 30 years. And a few years ago, I was diagnosed with osteoporosis due to the fact that I've been taking prednisone for uh-huh. that many years, 30 years. My dosage is 10 milligrams, which is fairly low, but I do have osteoporosis. So I started the bioidentical hormone treatment program with you folks. So I take... Uh-huh. the estrogen, the progesterone, and the testosterone. Well, anyway, so I'm so happy to be with your clinic. But now my last visit, my lab work was showing my CRP was at 40, and the range should be 0 to 3. Now, I've never had, all these years, have ever gotten into the normal range. I've gotten down to 6, and now I'm at 40. Last time, my blood work was showing 5.8. So it's really risen since the previous lab work. Okay, so this is where Dr. Gilbert comes in. I'm so blessed to have both of you here. And Lynette,
I know, right? Oh, yeah. Thank you.
So anyway, these past 4 months, I have had really major cornea issues. So I've had, excuse me, I'm kind of emotional, a little nervous. So I've had
Come on, we're just family here.
Yeah. I know. I've had a cornea ulcer, a large cornea abrasion. So I was taking medication drops for the ulcer. And then when I went back, you know, I've been going back to my ophthalmologist now for every 2 weeks for about 4 months now. And so then when I went back for that, that was healing. But then I had a large abrasion. So, of course, I had to continue on eye drops and things like that. And then those things were kind of healing good. And then I called her a few days later because my eyes just didn't feel great. They were very achy. And so anyway, I went back in and she said, Melanie, you just have really extremely dry eyes. And so I have Sjogren's disease. And that's always kind of a byproduct of rheumatoid arthritis. So I've got very dry, extremely dry eyes. I've got extremely dry mouth. And so anyway, with that, I then developed filamentary keratitis. And so I was back there last week. The filaments are gone, but now I have another little abrasion that we're dealing with. And so now I have an eye bandage on my cornea, and I'm taking ofloxacin and, I was on that. Now she put me back on moxifloxacin, and I'm on Xiidra, and then over-the-counter eye drops. My question is, could that high 40 CRP, could that be a result of my issues with my eyes, that my body's trying to fight these issues with my cornea? And then I also have dysfunctional ear tubes. I've had so many, eustachian tubes. I've had so many ear tubes put in my ears throughout my life, and I stopped doing it because I thought I was going to wear out my poor eardrums. But anyway, so that's part one. And then the second part with Dr. Mixon is, I'm sorry, I could probably talk to both of you for hours. With Dr. Mixon, I have now been, last week was put on HCG through your longevity medical clinic to hopefully reduce the high CRP. And I was wondering, Dr. Mixon, if you knew if there, because it's kind of an experimental thing, and if you have had good results that you've heard for people with rheumatoid arthritis lowering their CRP with HCG. Anyway, so thank you for your help.
Okay, well, a couple of things. First of all, obviously, I'm on the radio. I don't even know your real name, and I don't have access to your medical records. But all those aside, when I hear somebody with rheumatoid arthritis, you know, autoimmune diseases are always scary because people who get one usually get more than one, and it sounds like you're in that basket. So my question is, how do I normalize your immune system as much as possible? One thing that there is some good data for, it goes all the way back to the 50s, is pregnenolone. So I would push your pregnenolone levels a little high. I'm thinking of one study from 1951, in fact. But we have found that our patients with autoimmune diseases tend to do very well. But the ones who do best tend to be the ones that we carry the higher pregnenolone levels. So I'd want to take a look at your level and maybe kick it up. You know, if you're in the 30s, 40s, I'd push your pregnenolone till we got your serum level up around 100, and see if that helps. The other thing that has got that is more experimental, but I think has great promise, is rapamycin in rheumatoid disease. It has a profound effect on the immune system's inflammatory processes. So I would be fascinated to give you a 2 or 3 month trial and see how you were doing on the rapamycin. There are several papers talking about autoimmune disease and immune system normalization with the inhibition of mTOR1. So I think that would be worth trying. And yes, that sudden jump from, 6 to 8 up to 40, that tells me there's an acute inflammatory flare in your body from something. You're questioning, could it be from the eye? My guess would be the eye might be more a consequence of
it. Yeah. The eye is suffering from rather than causal.
Yeah. I think it's your autoimmune disease has suddenly flared. And whether you're having joint pain with it or not at this point, I think that's what's causing your eye issue. So once more, anything and everything I can do to lower that inflammation, but more important, to try to normalize your immune function. And for that, the two things that immediately come to mind are pregnenolone and rapamycin.
Which I do take, the pregnenolone.
Yeah. But the question is how much? See, most women are on like 20 milligrams a day. And with an autoimmune disease, I would consider kicking you up to 50 or even 100 a day.
Yeah, I'm on 20.
Yep. Yeah. And that you're on the average woman's dose. But I'd kick that up to 50 or even 100 for a while and see what happens.
Should I talk with my doctor at your office?
If I talk to your doctor and then have your doctor contact me, because I've got some papers that I may not have shared with them. And I don't send all the doctors my 10 or 15,000 paper file. I tend to send them a paper here, a paper there.
And it sounds like there are so many things that we need to do to help you with your dry eyes. Your autoimmune disease takes out the lacrimal gland, but not the meibomian gland. So work on that. And everything from serum tears, punctal occlusion, improving the meibomian gland function. There's a new drug called Tyrvaya that actually stimulates both glands. So there's a host of things that we can do for your chronic severe dry eyes.
That's good to know. Hey, Mel, why don't you stay on the line and we'll talk more about that with Dr. Gilbert in just a moment. You stay right there, okay, Mel? And we'll
Thank
talk
you.
Eyes. All right, we'll be back with more Leading Edge Medicine in just a moment. It's Leading Edge Medicine. Dr. Mixon bouncing over there. And you picked this one. Yeah, you picked this fun song.
Indeed.
Yes. And Dr. Michael Gilbert in the studio live with us today. I'm Lynette. And Dr. Gilbert, we were talking with Mel, and she had questions about her dry eye. You had a lot of things depending on her.
So I mentioned just quickly a list of things that we'd want to consider. And I think if I have a point, you're on Xiidra. Good. But unfortunately, I don't know of any one drug or treatment that's going to give you so much relief you're going to say, thank God I'm normal. So it's going to be more of here is a menu of treatments that in combination have a chance of improving things. So you're less vulnerable to the abrasions you mentioned. And of course, when you have that, the filamentary keratitis and the abrasions, which lead to ulcers, if you can improve the surface health, we decrease the chance that you have those repeated injuries and infections. Some of the uncommon treatments that so first of all, we would measure how much tears you actually produce. That's because the Sjogren's means that the lacrimal gland is not producing much in the way of tears. If that's true, then we not only want to improve the quality of what tears you are producing, and the alternate source is the meibomian gland, so we can work on that gland system. But then,
I learned about the meibomian gland test that you could do. My ophthalmologist has never suggested that, so I suggested it to her. And yes, I did have it done, and they are shot.
Of course they are
not functioning.
But just because they aren't normal doesn't mean we can't squeeze a bit more out of them. And when you're desperate for tears, you go for as much as you can. So recovering the glands that you have left would be part of the treatment. Blocking the tear drainage ducts, so what little tears you produce and what tears you put in will be prolonged in their effect, so they don't just run right out the normal drainage system. So hanging on to those, and then one of the less common treatments that can make a big difference for the severity is serum tears, and they actually take blood samples, spin it down, get your serum, and create an artificial tear that has all of your nourishing elements from your blood into a customized teardrop, and that can help deliver some relief.
Okay, well, very good. I guess I've been seeing my ophthalmologist for so many years. I really like her, but I feel like I have to ask questions more. And anyway, I would love to see you, so I better call and make an appointment with you, Dr. Gilbert.
Well, we can work on some of the challenges that your situation is not common. It's in the extreme, and so we have to use some of the less common methods in concert, because, as I said, there's not one medication, one treatment that's going to say, thank God I'm fixed.
Right.
You have a challenge.
I've been so blessed. I live pretty doggone normal. I'm not a couch potato. I keep fighting through all this, and but I just, this past couple of years, it's just things have changed a little bit. So, but back to Dr. Mixon, what about HCG? I'm taking that now. I did 5 shots. Mm-hmm. And then then you take 2 days off, and then I kind of miscalculated, so I actually now took 3 days off. I don't know if that's dangerous that I missed a dose, if I should just start right back on it today, the 5 days on and then 2 days off. But because half my time I'm helping take care of my mother, who's 94 and a half. So I'm half my time at my home, half the time at my mother's home. And then my sister helps out with the other half. So just kind of going back and forth, and I accidentally missed my dose. So I hope, and I would have called my doctor, but it's a Saturday. So I thought, oh, I'll have Dr. Mixon.
How old are you?
Anyway. Should I just start taking it again, the HCG,
even though
I missed a dose?
How old
are you? I'm 67. I'm 67.
Okay, 67. So you're just a kid.
Yeah.
Anybody younger than me is just a kid. That's right.
I know, we love that.
So, and how old is old? 15 years older than me. How old is a kid? Anybody younger than me? So,
my mom's 94, and she's stronger than me. She's got a beautiful brain. I'm so blessed. My dad had Alzheimer's and died with a massive stroke. So it's so beautiful to see my mom doing so well. But she's just got really bad knees now. So anyway.
The reason I ask your age is because you asked me how effective the HCG would be. HCG stands for human chorionic gonadotropin. And this is a brain hormone that triggers end organs to make more of their own hormones. So in a younger woman, if you were in your 40s or early 50s, the HCG would probably kick out a little more of the estrogens from your ovaries. At your age, it's not likely to raise your estrogen level much. You're still producing some, but it's mostly adrenal. But it will stimulate your adrenal glands a bit, and that's where the cortisol and the natural anti-inflammatories are being produced for you right now. So it'll probably help some, but because of your age, it won't help nearly as much as it would in a younger woman.
Okay.
Yeah, what I'd love to do would be to consult with your physician. Since you have a longevity doctor, have your doctor send me an email or give me a call. And
okay.
I've got some papers that I'm going to pull that your doc and I should be chatting about, and let's see if we can figure out a more aggressive way to get under control for you, okay?
Oh, I appreciate that. I have it on Enbrel, and the cost is, you know, thousands of dollars every year. So I haven't been taking it for a while. So I'm sure that's part of my problem. So, and then we were thinking the HCG might be an alternative to Enbrel, but I'm thinking now with the 40, I might need something a little more aggressive than HCG to get my inflammation back.
That's what I'm thinking too. Yeah. Just because of your age, I don't think the HCG will do as much as it would in a younger woman. But talk to your doctor, have your doctor, you know, contact me, and I will see what I can do to put us all together, okay?
Okay, thank you. I appreciate everything. I learned so much from all of you. Thank you.
Okay, take care, everybody.
Good luck to you.
All right. Thank you so much for your call, Mel. All right. We have another hour of Leading Edge Medicine and more time for your calls and your questions with Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Michael Gilbert from Northwest Vision Institute. Jesse will take your call right after the break. And Mary, we're going to get to you, too. Plenty of time to get in the queue with your question. Here is the number to call. It's 206-421-5757. There is room on the line for your call right now. Phones are open. 206-421-5757. We'll be back with more Leading Edge Medicine with Dr. Mixon and Dr. Gilbert in just a moment.